Welcome to The Social Network Show. How do you feel about social technology and this connected, networked world we live in? Your host of The Social Network Show, Dr. J, interviews informed and entertaining guests to tackle the most pressing digital issues of interest to business professionals and nonprofit leaders, to parents and educators, and to anyone wondering where all this is taking us. And now, your host, experimental psychologist, Dr. Jane Karwoski.
Remember the first time that you reinvented yourself? You were probably 7 or 8 years old and realized that the name you were given at birth was all wrong. It did not fit at all. You had come up with the perfect fit, of course. Or maybe it is your own child that has tried to reinvent him or herself in this way. It is definitely an uphill battle, as we found out. You'll be hearing from a reinvention expert today on the Social Network Show, the Spider Graham series. Spider will introduce you to his guest, Hollis Thomases. But first, a word about him. He co-authored Taking Down Goliath, Digital Marketing Strategies for Beating Competitors with 100 Times Your Spending Power. And he is the CEO of TrainingCraft, a company that offers online, live, and customized training services on digital marketing and advertising best practices for advertisers, agencies, media buyers, and more. Welcome back to the Social Network Show, Spider.
Thank you, as always, Dr. J. It's great to be here. And I'm really excited today because I'm able to spend some time with someone whom, A, I admire, and someone who I have watched go through a bit of an evolution in the last few years, and that is Hollis Thomases. Hollis is finding it hard to describe herself, and it's often we put people on the spot sometimes on the show saying, well, tell me something about yourself. And Hollis is finding herself in the middle of being a reinventionist, which I'll let her explain a little bit more fully. But it's really about how she has reiterated herself and her career multiple times. Because as we discover throughout life that nothing is really static, nor does it need to be. And so an opportunity for anybody, and Hollis will talk more about this, what happens if you get to a point where you've already been working for a number of years or you've already done something that's meaningful and you decide that you don't want to do that anymore? You want to be something else when you grow up. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to let Hollis share a little bit more about her philosophy in reinventing and how she got from where she started to where she is today. But without any further ado, Hollis, thank you so much and welcome to the broadcast.
Hey there.
So, you know, you and I have, and I guess in the interest of full disclosure, Hollis and I have known each other for a number of years, and we always find when we get together, we have the tendency to, we almost create kind of those motivational posters you see hanging in certain places for each other. It's just, we have some fantastic conversations, and we've talked a lot about the whole idea of, you know, how do you get from here to there? What do you want to be when you grow up, and what difference does it make? So, can you kind of give us kind of an understanding of your journey and how you got toward the personal concept of reinvention and what you're doing about it with your current property?
How much time we got?
Yeah, exactly.
I never really categorized myself or realized that I was a reinventionist. And I've coined the phrase reinventionist to describe somebody who has gone through a reinvention at least once, and through that process has taken themselves to a different place. I don't define what reinvention exactly is because I think that there's many different interpretations of reinvention, and it shouldn't necessarily be up to me to define it for somebody else. Although I'm happy to aggregate and sort of synthesize the many different definitions I've heard. But my personal reinvention process probably started when I arrived at college, and I saw college as a place for me to be something different and someone different than I necessarily was in high school. I think in high school, it is high school. People put you in boxes and put labels on you, and I lived in the same town and grew up with the same people and went to the school with the same people for 13 years. So it's kind of hard to shake something after 13 years. So I saw college as an opportunity for me to do that as the first time I was sort of intentional about it. And after I went through my college experience, which was great, I got to the point where I was graduating. And before I graduated, I thought that I wanted to work in the business of advertising. Don't laugh, Spider. I know that's where I wound up. But in order to try to validate that idea, I went to work in New York City at an ad agency as part of a college internship. And I always thought I wanted to work and live in Manhattan and work in advertising. And I did this internship the first semester of my senior year, and I utterly hated it. And I was miserable, and I had a college advisor who was there for the intern program who told me to look on the lighter side, and at least I discovered that I didn't like this industry and I didn't want to live in Manhattan before I moved there and got a job in the industry, which I really took as a bitter pill at the time, but was probably very good advice. Nevertheless, I returned back to college thinking, what the heck am I going to do now? Because I don't want to pursue what I thought I wanted to pursue. So I decided to just pick up and move to Baltimore. And how I did that is a big story unto itself. But I had no job, I had no family, and I had no friends. Sounds like a wonderful trifecta. I'm not sure about reinventing, but I certainly had to invent the next incarnation of myself. And there were things that I had taken away from my education and my experience that I at least felt were applicable. So I did get a job working in communications. At the time I started my first job, it was as a communications person for a trade association. And I worked my way through that job, and I had lots of other kind of jobs similar to that as I felt out the first foundation of my career. But when I started to feel like I wasn't going where I wanted to go in my career, I thought, well, I always wanted to have my own company. I come from an entrepreneurial family, and I thought that I wanted to have my own business. And that was kind of, instead of being a doctor, lawyer, attorney, or teacher, I wanted to be an entrepreneur, even though I didn't know what that word was at the time that I first thought about it. So I had a little folder. I kept ideas. I kept vetoing my ideas. And then the internet came along, and I thought the internet was going to be really hot. This was like in 1996, 97. But I didn't know how to capitalize on it because I wasn't a computer programmer. I wasn't a graphic designer. Oh, well, nothing for me there. Once again, veto an idea. But then I had an aha moment, and my realization was that the businesses that were cropping up online were going to need marketing just like a terrestrial world business would. And maybe I could come up with something for them. And I thought of an advertising solution that was for print, and I sussed it out and quit my job and started this company, only to 2 months into it find out that really the market wasn't interested in my product.
Which is always such a great place to be. So suddenly without it. So boys and girls, don't quit your day job, remember? And by the way, I just want to talk about kind of from a reinvention standpoint and kick things back to Dr. J for a second and get her thoughts on how reinventing sometimes makes things happen differently.
Yeah, well, one thing I'm always reinventing is ways to make things easier. And since we're talking to Hollis, who's been in advertising and marketing, is appropriate. I want to think about making things easier. A great example of doing that, you know, the feeling you get when you can do something with just the click of your mouse. Now, that's convenient, right? And convenience always makes things go faster. So now you can even get your mailing and shipping done right from your desk, thanks to stamps.com. Imagine your Mac or your PC as your own personal post office. It never closes, right? For any letter, any package, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right there and pop it in the outbox for pickup, and voila, you're done. So here's a special offer for you because you listen to my show. Right now, use my promo code SOCIAL for a no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus. That is a digital scale that hooks right into your computer. I'm so excited because we just got ours the other day. And you get up to $55 free postage. Stamps.com is a class act. And how do I know this? Because if you opt out after the trial month, you get to keep the scale and the postage. How cool is that? So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in social. That's Stamps.com. Enter social.
Of course, so, you want to do that after the broadcast. You want to write it down right now. Go to stamps.com and sign up after you're done listening to Hollis talk about reinvention. And getting back to you, Hollis, so you're currently hosting a weekly webcast, and I want to talk about that. And in the interest of transparency, I have been a guest on the Reinvention Works webcast, and we had a fantastically, wonderfully fun time in New York City once upon a time. And so anyway, I just want to kind of how that's progressing and what you're learning and what your listeners are getting out of it.
So my weekly live webcast is so much fun to me. First of all, I have a growing audience, and some of them are regulars, and I know this by the registration, so I've got this like little recurring audience who tell me that they enjoy it because it's better than television, that they really learn insightful pieces of information that they can apply because they're considering a reinvention or they're sort of stagnating in their reinvention. And the questions that I ask of my guests have to do with their process and how they came to decide that they were going to reinvent and what their journey was like and what their failures were like and their successes and their hiccups and bumps in the road and how what kind of tools and means that they were either utilized or provided to by somebody else along the way. And so for me, it's fun and fascinating because I get to hear these stories and pick up these nuggets at the same time that I'm capturing them for the audience. Let's remember that I'm walking the walk with my audience at the same time that I'm in the process that I've come to now, which is that this is what I want to do, to basically be the aggregator and the curator of all things reinvention. So I think that the other thing I try to do is to have a really diverse guest base, so that every week is a different kind of person with a different kind of story. And I'm always looking for new people with different kinds of stories and different kinds of backgrounds. So I don't just want to have kind of like you and I, Rob, we are kind of the same ilk. So I loved our conversation, but I also try to get guests who are completely different than I am, so that I get their perspective. And I do capture quite a different set of folks, you know. So it's really, really interesting to me. And then that just is another product that I've created to help encourage the discussion about reinvention and to kind of show other folks they're certainly not alone.
And I want to talk a little bit about I guess it was a show. I know we're using the wrong word. You did a real world event, I know, in Philadelphia last fall on career makeovers, or at least focus on career makeovers. And the whole concept of what do you do if you're over a certain age and you decide you want to grab a new career. Can you share with the listeners a little bit what that was all about and how it was received?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to be honest, that event was a pilot project for me to see if there was a viable business model in what I wanted to create, i.e. a business based on reinvention. And so I wanted to create something that mimicked my bigger vision. And fortunately, one of the things in my career I did was event planning. So creating an event didn't seem like a too daunting task. And what I wanted to do was to bring to an audience a combination of a panel of experts. And by experts, I meant some folks who had been through reinvention, some folks who provided advisory services about things like transitional change or innovation or financial risk mitigation, because all of those things factor in when somebody is considering reinvention. So we hosted a panel initially, and then I had breakout sessions where each of my panelists hosted a specific topic in their wheelhouse. And I had three breakouts for a total rotation, but there were six different things to choose from. So not everybody got to attend every single session, and that was intentional. So if you felt like you needed more on the front end of reinvention, like how do I even know I'm ready to reinvent, you would go to that breakout. And then we had a reconvening at the end and a closing keynote. And it was a really fantastic event. I mean, for me, it was a little micro journey of itself because it proved to me I had an audience. I had people who paid to be there. Most of the people who provided feedback, I got feedback forms from 80% of the audience. Unparalleled success. They said that they would do it again. They said that they appreciated the sense of community that they got from attending the event and other people being there and hearing the panel of experts who could give them really concrete takeaway advice that they could put into action right away.
And if I remember correctly, the Philadelphia Inquirer actually picked up a story on you with regard to this. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. The interesting thing was that, okay, I have a background in marketing PR, so I pitched reporters. I had a reporter from the Philadelphia Inquirer who's the jobs reporter express an interest. She said she would try to attend. She ended up attending the entire thing. And she ended it by calling me the next day and saying she thought it was really fascinating. And she had some follow-up questions and that it might make the cover story of the business section that Sunday. And this event took place on a Wednesday and I was just over the moon. And it was fantastic, you know. And then I got interest from people who missed the event, didn't know about the event, wanted to attend the next event. And I thought, well, I don't have another next event yet. So,
but it's certainly what a nice place to arrive at, though, after just setting up a trial balloon. Obviously, it's working out really well for you. I want to kick things back to Dr. J for a second, since we need to take our break, and then we can come back and talk a lot more about what you're doing.
Those are excellent examples. I love your experience and seeing how that works. So there's more to come in the next half. Spider Graham and Hollis Thomases will tell you more about the intricacies of reinvention. This is Dr. J, and you're listening to The Social Network Show.
Questions? Comments? Reach out to us. Our email address is questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com or find us on Twitter @SocialNetShow.
Welcome back to The Social Network Show. Hey, Spider, I'd like to ask you, what motivates you to respond to the following type of request from podcasts that you enjoy listening to? Right now, we have a completely anonymous 5-minute survey that I'd like you to complete to help us learn more about our audience. We're going to ask you some questions about yourself and what you like to buy. Your answers help us find advertisers that are well matched to you, your interest, and the show. When you're finished, you can enter a monthly drawing to win a $100 Amazon gift card. So taking this podcast listener survey helps support the show. Don't forget that you have a chance to win that $100 gift card. That's podsurvey.com/social. Thanks for helping us find the best advertisers so we can keep the show free. podsurvey.com/social. So, Spider, what are your thoughts on why and how?
Well, you know, one of the things, and Hollis certainly can weigh in on this as well, is we find ourselves oftentimes inundated with content and marketing that has nothing to do with us personally, absolutely nothing. And so at least the people who are listening to a show like this, if we say, look, we want to find sponsors, you know, the reality of any show is that we need to find a way to monetize it so we can keep doing it. But we don't want to set up a whole bunch of sponsors for which you don't care to hear from. So by letting us know what interests you and taking a few minutes, not only does it you know, give you an opportunity to possibly win the $100 gift card, but it also means that any of the sponsors we have in the future are going to be vendors and brands and things you were interested in, might be able to use in the future, that kind of thing. It's a lot less wasted time.
Right. And so in order to do that response, you mentioned earlier, jot down the URL so that after the show you can go to it and do it. But then people also have a pause button on a podcast.
Sure.
So
we'll wait. We'll be right here patiently waiting while you go take care of your business.
Well, thanks, Spider. You're hearing from Spider Graham and Hollis Thomas of Reinvention Works. So, Spider, go ahead with your next question because I love her answers.
All right. Well, Hollis, you know, you and I have had, like I said, we've had chances to kind of talk about it. One of the things we've talked about plenty, and being an entrepreneur, by the way, boys and girls, is not the way it appears on television. I think a lot of people say, you know what, you're so lucky you get to work for yourself. And I said, have you met my boss? My boss makes me work weekends and evenings and all the time and makes me do all sorts of stuff I don't want to do. And I'm only half joking here, but I think the reality of a lot of what we end up doing in the world of entrepreneurial studies is not glamorous. And we joke about the fact that, you know, when you sit down and think about what you want to do for yourself, it looks very smooth and easy. And it turns out you spend a lot of your time walking through a very mucky swamp hoping you don't lose your boots. There are always challenges. And Hollis, you know this as well as anybody. There are plenty of challenges. So when we talk about reinvention, I think it's important also to understand that, you know, understand why you might want to change and change for the right reasons, not for illusions that somehow working for yourself is better than working for other people. It's different. I'm not saying it's better or worse. It's definitely different, but there are some huge challenges nonetheless. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, over the course of my interviews of my various live guests, as well as the interviews that I am conducting and documenting for my website to come, one of the things that resonates kind of over and over again is the pursuit of passion. I didn't identify it as passion when I decided it was time for me to move on. It was more the lack of joy. So I no longer derived pleasure from what I was doing. In fact, I was pretty darn miserable. And that's not a sustainable human condition for most people, especially ones who have the ability to kind of take control of their destiny. And I think that everybody has that ability. It's just a matter of figuring it out how and whether or not you can do it in the here and now moment when you discover it, or you have to tolerate the current conditions so that you can plan for the next move that you make. And that's part of what I am trying to now, you know, showcase and impart to people, that I believe that reinvention is a choice. It's deliberate, it's intentional. And that's the main thing about its difference versus just letting life sort of serve you what it will.
Right.
So for me, it was about finding joy again and having a career in that. So what did I do that made me happy and that I had talents at and that I could, you know, make a living doing? And those are all really important questions. And it was a tough road to hoe to even suss that out. So, I can't tell you how joyful I am now, despite the difficulties of being in the midst of a startup, you know, and I forgot how hard it is to start a business, and I forgot how hard it is to start a business in a space that nobody really, you know, it's not like I bought a franchise license and I'm just following the map.
We in the past, we've talked a little bit about the statistics, and I don't know if you have something that you can cite accurately or not, but I know we've talked in general terms about the statistical numbers of people who claim that they don't care for their jobs, and then we actually have the statistical breakdown of people who absolutely detest what they do for a living. Can you talk a little bit about that? And we can kind of tweak it. I want to talk a little bit about career reinvention, but I also want to talk about some of the elements of personal reinvention that you address.
Yeah, well, according to some statistics, surveys on people's job satisfaction, the equivalent of 51% of U.S. adults employed in this country dislike their jobs. That's a huge number of people.
That's a stunning number of people.
It's roughly 59 million people. And that's job dissatisfaction. So it doesn't mean that they're going to do anything about it necessarily, but it means that for anybody who's got employees right now working for them, they should think that about half of their workforce working for them dislike what they're doing every day. And that's also profound. That's pretty profound number. And then there's a lot of other conditions that sort of impact reinvention. Job loss impacts reinvention. Looming retirement impacts reinvention. There's something like 10,000 baby boomers coming of retirement age every single day between now and 2030. And let me ask, you know, the rhetorical question right now, just so that you hit 65, does that mean you stop working? You want to stop working? You want to stop using your mind and being gainfully employed at something? Not necessarily. You just may not want to do the same thing that you're doing right now, or working as hard, or working for somebody else, i.e. the man. So there's lots of reasons for boomers to be considering reinvention. And then there are conditions of life that also bring about reinvention, and sometimes they bring about career reinvention, and sometimes they bring about life reinvention. So this may overlap, Spider, with the personal side of reinvention. I'm not really sure. Do you want me to proceed with that?
Well, I think it's all part and parcel, but you know, a lot of times people get mired down in the whole idea of career reinvention.
Right.
And I think career is part of our lives, and there are a lot of other aspects. And to your point, the transitions, the children just left the house.
Right.
You've gone through a marital separation.
Exactly.
You know, whatever's changing in your life as well is also going to affect your perception of what you want to do every morning when you wake up.
That's right. You know, we hear about sort of life-altering circumstances. Somebody has a near-death experience, or there is a profound loss in a life, you know, like a beloved one, that turns somebody from something that they were into an advocate. You know, there are such profound circumstances, and then there are the less profound circumstances, but nevertheless important ones, like I want to lose half my body weight. Or I'm relocating because of a spouse or some other circumstance, my parents, my aging parents, and I've got to recreate my life. You know, there's a lot of, there's everything from the literal epiphany to the ground swelling, something's not right, I need to change feeling. And that all leads to a desire to take on a change, so i.e. be in charge of your own destiny.
So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different things that go into reinvention. It's not just going and finding a new job or even a new career, but it's really almost kind of getting inside your own head to identify what it is that you want to change and why.
Right, exactly. And that's a process. And there are many, you know, there's an entire industry of folks who that's what they help people do. And so some people, they absolutely prefer the help of an outside third party to help them through that process, whereas other people are more internal and they need to machinate it themselves to figure out what they're going to do. And again, there's no right or wrong way. It's what works for you. It's ignoring it. That's the problem. It's ignoring and doing nothing that
creates. Yeah. The living a life of quiet desperation that we hear about.
Quiet misery, right.
To be avoided if we can do that. Well, Hollis, how can people get in touch with you if they're interested in learning more about reinvention or what you're doing?
Well, first of all, they can head on over to reinventionworks.com/webcasts is my live webcasts program. They can subscribe to our email list at either location, the primary domain, reinventionworks.com, or at the webcast, which is the /webcasts. They can email me directly. My email is Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S, at reinventionworks.com. I'm also on Twitter. In my previous incarnation, I wrote a book about Twitter called Twitter Marketing an Hour a Day. So, of course, I still use Twitter. My handle is my name, at Hollis Thomases, and Thomases is T-H-O-M-A-S-E-S. Or our Twitter handle for Reinvention Works is Reinvention Work, singular, because unfortunately Twitter handles can only be 16 characters.
Technology.
Technology. Well,
thank you so much for joining us today. I wish we had a lot more time. Dr. J, back to you.
Well, thank you so much, Spider, because you always bring the most interesting people. Hollis, thank you. I really appreciated how you use the many different skills that you've learned throughout your life in each new incarnation of yourself. And thank you all for listening. We bring you leaders in business, cyber citizenship, and the ethical, legal, and social implications of our networked, connected world. Please help us reach an even wider audience by telling your social network about the podcast. And the survey site, again, is podsurvey.com/social. Spider, thank you so much for joining us again. And please have fun and be safe, online and off, until you listen again.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the worldwide show dedicated to social media networking and understanding the connected, networked world we live in. Listen to our archive shows on thesocialnetworkshow.com and follow us on Twitter at Social Net Show. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia Incorporated. The views and opinions expressed are those of our host and guest and may not be the views and opinions of Social Network Intermedia.